Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 20. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The Bible tells us that there's going to be all kinds of different people coming when those seats are set up. The Bible says they're going to come from all over the four quarters of the earth, and they're going to come and sit down and be served in that great feast of the Lamb. So this is the first resurrection. All of those that were dead before the church age now will be resurrected. The people who were martyred during the tribulation are going to be resurrected, and they're going to rule and reign with Christ for the 1,000 years. Verse 7, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired. So what have we seen? We've seen the binding of Satan. Then we've seen the blessing of service. What's the blessing of service? The blessing of service is that we're going to be able to rule and reign with him. Look at verse 6. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The word blessed could be translated happy. Don't miss that. Because the fact is sometimes we get bogged down with what we know. The Bible says that those who are in that kingdom, especially applying to those who are resurrected and those who are in that day, the Bible talks about everlasting joy being on your brow. The Bible talks about no sorrow. It's going to be a time where everything's going to be right with us. We who have died and were resurrected, or we who were translated and given our glorified bodies, the Bible says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, this is just talking about those who are alive and remain, the Bible says a moment, twinkling of an eye, that the trump of the Lord shall sound and we shall be caught up. And the Bible says, and this mortality is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and death is going to be swallowed up of life. How cool is that? Now, when that happens, there's not going to be any more sin nature. Can I get a witness? Amen. No more dogging in your trail. You're going to be glorified saints of the living God. You're going to come back. You're going to rule and reign with him. And the Bible says, blessed and holy, happy and holy. So whatever's going on for 1,000 years, you're going to be happy all the time. Oh, don't you hate people who are happy all the time? No, wait a minute. Just because it's hard to see people who are happy all the time. But in that day, there's going to be a whole lot of happy people running around. That's part of the witness that God's going to give for 1,000 years to the people who are mere mortals that will come out of the tribulation, humanly speaking, who will not die during that time, but will be scorched and beaten and thirsty and tired and hungry and having heartache. But they're going to come out crumbling at the knees. The Jews that are going to be regathered that didn't die, all of these people are now going to procreate and populate the 1,000-year millennium. But everywhere you look, you're going to see believers, and they're going to be populating that kingdom, and you're going to see nothing but joy. In other words, there's going to be no excuse at the end of the millennium not to believe on Jesus. Because every person who is born during the time of the millennial kingdom will have to come to a personal saving faith in Jesus. Those who get through the tribulation, get into the millennium, those people have already put their faith in Christ. That's the whole judgment of Matthew chapter 25. Remember that? The Bible says the king will bring all of the nations in front of him and separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He's going to say to the sheep, blessed are ye of my Father. He says, you go into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundations of the earth. Those are humans that had not died going into the kingdom. But you and I are going to be right there flanking the Lord. Now, it says in verse 6, again, this is something to get your mind around. It says, we will be priests of God. So we're reigning and we're priests. So we're king priests. We're a kingdom of priests and we're kings and priests. Now, how are we priests? Well, if you remember, probably a little sketchy for some of us, but what happened in the Old Testament was when God had the land conquered, he set up cities of refuge and he gave certain cities to the Levites. You remember, they did not have their own inheritance because God was their inheritance, right? So God gave them cities and places to live in the midst of the nation of Israel. So they might be scattered here and there. There are 24 courses in the work of the temple. There are 24 courses. And so there's 24 guys who are on site doing the work of the temple at any given time. But there was a whole lot of priests. Where were they? They were all in their cities. Okay? And why were they there? Because you, as the priest of your own home, as the one responsible for your own home, you would have to deal with the issues of making good judgments. And when you didn't know what to do, you would go to a priest and you would say, what's the word on this? How do I deal with that? For instance, even if there were little things like mold in the house, they'd say, go get the priest and bring him in and say, well, that's mold. Let's see. We're going to close the house up for a couple of days. We'll come back and look at it. And if it's not spreading, we're good. You can go back in there and clean it up and live there. Sometimes they had to condemn it. That was like the health department. But they used the priests as the resource. And they would go from the priest. The priest would go to the words of God that he gave in the law. You and I are going to be like that. We will have already lived through all of this nonsense. We will have personalized the word of God. We will now have glorified bodies. We will have had a 7-year crash course on all things biblical. So we're not going to miss anything. And then we're going to come back and rule and reign with him, and we'll be a kingdom of priests. So we're going to be scattered throughout the earth. We're probably going to have the ability to do what Jesus did. That means come into the room without opening the door. We're going to have glorified bodies. There's going to be celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, right alongside physical or terrestrial bodies. In other words, mortals and immortals are going to interact. That happened before the flood. The Bible says the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they took them as wives. And part of the reason God brought the flood was because things were so out of control with the spiritual and the mortal getting together that it was just, okay, we need to fix this. And so he did a reset and he gave us a new opportunity and he chained the ones who wouldn't stay in their spot. This is why when demons came to Jesus and said, are you come to torment us before our time? They were worried that they might be cast down there too. There's a connective throughout the scriptures. But in the millennial kingdom, there's going to be mortals and immortals. You say, that's hard to believe. Well, wait a minute. Jesus is here. He's immortal. So let's just start at the top. But then the Bible tells us that David's going to be there as well. And it tells us that in about 3 or 4 different places in the Old Testament. Well, when we go further, the Bible says in verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. You say, well, is that all we get on the 1,000 years? Yeah, that's all you're going to get now, because if I tried to tell you about the 1,000 years, I'd have to take you through Jeremiah and Isaiah, and I'd have to take you through Micah and Hosea and Joel and Amos. And you want to know what's going on in 1,000 years, you go plunder the Old Testament, because it's all in there. There's a ton of passages, lion laying down with the lamb, the streams breaking forth in the desert, Israel saved in a day. I mean, we're talking about a whole lot of really cool details that you have to go, you know, mine for yourself. Why? Because it is the glory of a king to search out a matter. You need to go search it out. Let's not let somebody else do our searching. You go search it out and go ask your pastors at this time or people who are older than you in the Lord for direction sometimes. But you need to get your legs under you so you got this down and it'll help equip you for the nonsense we're facing in our world today. So he says, Satan was loosed. What happened then? Well, the Bible says, and he shall go out to, there it is, to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Did you notice what he just did? The nations that are in four quarters, Gog and Magog, he just put them all together. As if Gog and Magog, which Russia is where most people trace it back to. But let me tell you this. This is a direct connective to Ezekiel 38. You can write it down on the margin. In fact, write down on the margin specifically Ezekiel 38 verse 10. Because it is there that the Bible says, after many days and in the latter days, that thoughts will come into your mind. And so the people on the earth, Gog and Magog, it said, thoughts are going to come into your mind. And you're going to think, I'm going to go down against unwalled cities. For 1,000 years, Jerusalem has been an unwalled city. 1,000 years. I'm going to go against unwalled city. Where did that thought come? Did you ever walk along and a thought popped into your mind? Where did that come from? Devil's showing himself. His little imps and demons are getting, you know, a little aggressive maybe, and they just jump into your brain. The Bible says we are to cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Did you know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers? The devil is afoot. Okay, he's on the road. He's roaming, seeking whom he may devour. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's transformed into an angel of light. Very important to keep yourself close to this book because it's the only way you'll have light and a lamp for your path. The Bible says he's going to go out and deceive the nations, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. This is why I prefaced things a moment ago. You've taken out the bad government. You've taken out the deceiver. Well, we're going to let this deceiver go for a little while, just a little season. And it won't take him long at all just to go out and get all those nations to come out, the number of which is just the sand of the sea, and they're going to come up against the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. But one last hurrah. The Bible says he's going to consume them in a moment. The Bible says in verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now that's actually Ezekiel chapter 38 as well. The Bible says the fire came down from heaven, from God, and devoured them. So that's dealing with the battling of the sinners. They come against God after the 1,000 years are finished, and once and for all, He sets down all of the armies of the evil one and all those who would not be saved during the millennial kingdom. Verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." Look at this. Lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. That's 1,000 years. That's two human beings who've been burning for 1,000 years. They're the only inhabitants in the lake of fire. This is not annihilation. This is, as 2 Thessalonians 1 says, everlasting destruction. May I just say to you very clearly, the world would have you believe there is no hell. They would have you not worry about it. Not true. Couldn't be true. The Bible affirms it to the very end. There is everlasting destruction. We're going to revisit that in a minute because we're going to get to the sentencing. But these three now are the only three inhabiting the lake of fire. The false prophet, the beast, and now the devil himself is cast into the lake of fire. You know, I think the devil hates me even telling you this. You know, thankfully, I think God puts a hedge about His people and His church, and I think He just has to stay outside, unless one of us brought one in. Anybody? Anybody? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't bring them in. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall," look at this, "be tormented day and night, forever and ever." Tormented forever and ever. It was not long ago that I remember seeing a vignette of Bill O'Reilly, who is now a non-issue in the world because of his nonsense. He went on record as saying, "I don't believe in hell being forever and ever." He says, "I just don't believe a good God could do that." Well, I'm telling you what. It doesn't matter what you believe, Bill. You just now influenced millions of people to not believe in it. You hear what I'm saying? You hear somebody who's got some education, maybe some influence, he stands up and he says, "I don't believe that." You say, "Well, yeah, I'm with Bill. Me and Bill." Tell you what, if Bill O'Reilly does not repent and trust Jesus as a Savior, he's going to be tormented for whether he believes in it or not. And I want you to know this, that we have a day where you've got people trying to throw you with a barrage of static, whether they tell you you came from a monkey, you know. Somebody said from the goo to the zoo to you. Okay, that's what they think. You came from the goo, the primordial goo, to the zoo, because you were once a primate, and now you're you. And they're trying to tell you that, and that's static. You have been created by the direct intervention of God through Adam. You've been knit together in your mother's womb, Psalm 139. He knows you from your intimate moments to the days of your life, the beginning from the end. He knows it all. He knows you. And that's why you are so completely responsible for everything you do. And the scary thing is that people in our day don't take it seriously that they're going to die. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in their hearts. They think they're going to live forever. And I just want to say, you're going to exist forever, but only the believers are going to live forever. The Bible says that they were tormented forever and ever. So we turn from the binding of Satan to the blessings of service, and from the battling of the sinners, and we turn our corner now to the books and the sentencings. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." The word "them" is referring back to the heavens and the earth. They're gone. They just are gone.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.